Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Please clap for this young lady. Hallelujah. Mukama yebazibwe nnyo. Praise the Lord. I will spare you. I will not preach in Luganda. Mrs. Barrow has given you the first dose. But in all, we praise the Lord so, so much. We thank the Lord for all that he does for us, all that he continues to do for us. We thank the Lord for his grace. We thank the Lord for each and every person who is in this place. We thank the Lord for our nation. We thank the Lord. You know, you can continue on and on and on. There are so, so many things to thank God for. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Father in heaven, I bless you. I give you all the glory, all the honor. I thank you, Father, for this precious time that you give us as we come in fellowship, as we come to hear your word. Father, I submit myself to you. Holy Spirit of God, take control. Use me. Let there be less of me, let there be more of you. Father, let my tongue speak that which you have ordained, and let anything that I speak which is not of you, let it pass. Father, we bless you and thank you for this time. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Now I want to first thank God for LAT. Clap for yourselves right now. I thank the Lord for Pastor and his wife. And every single person who stands in this place, whether you stand on the pulpit, or you are a ndiga, or you are in the worship team or praise team, everybody, for the people who stand behind there in the sound, everybody who organizes LAT, for the blog, for putting things up, for organizing this place, I praise the Lord for you. Amen. May God continue to be with you and guide you. I want to thank God for all the people who have spoken into our lives. People take time to submit to God, to ask God what they should put, what God should put on their hearts that they may be able to speak to us. It takes time. It's not easy. It takes commitment. You really think of yourself as you stand to speak what the Lord has put on your heart. And you sometimes wonder and say, is this what the Lord wants me to speak? So it's not easy. If you are sitting there and you say, when is Pastor going to tell me to come up and preach? And the time hasn't yet come. Kakana, the time will come. There's a time for everything. There's a season for everything. I want to thank God for my Muchala for the 59 years that she is. 59 years young. We celebrated. We celebrated in style. Musumba to izanyiramu. Celebrate in style. Every moment that the Lord gives you with whoever, celebrate. Because you don't know when you are going to depart or somebody will depart. So don't have any negative thoughts in your heart. If God gives you a moment to celebrate, celebrate. Even if it is with Muogo, Uba, Kabaragala, take the what God has given you. So I thank God so, so much. I want to thank God for all the preachings we have had. There's one which really I've been thinking about a lot as I was preparing. And I remember that we were taught about pushing. And I remember that we declared so much about 2025. Who knows? Who remembers what we declared about 2025? Pastor knows. Gwesisobola kubuza because ebibuzo obera nabyo and the answers. Who remembers what we declared about 2025? You want to share? Okay, just share. In just a minute, remember, what did we declare about 2025?
We declared that in this year, LAT would grow in numbers.
You clap for her. What else did we declare about LAT 2025? And when you declare about 2025 LAT, you are the individual, you are the church. Eh? What else did we declare? You know, my children, I always laugh and say, there's that casket which goes around on YouTube. And the teacher was teaching the class. Is it increasing or decreasing? Crazy. Is it increasing or decreasing? Easy. So that they all sound what? The same. So if you're seated there and you're saying, even me, it's now time for you to go back and revise. Because this is the sixth month of the year. We are in the middle of the year. We're doing the month that was going to close the first half of the year. We had the sermons around push, pray until something happens. You know, there's been so many great sermons. Recently, we had the resurrection and the feasts. That way, I think, Pastor, I don't know whether you would record it, those series. They're recorded. Maybe I'm the one who doesn't, I am a bit analog. But I want to listen to those sermons again because they have a profound revelation for us in terms of preparing. Pastor, thank you for listening to God and taking time to, you know, to research and find out and deliver the truth to us so that we can open our eyes. Yeah? I want to revise those teachings. We were taught about spiritual growth, humility. We were taught about goals, temperance, so many things. And when Pastor sent me a message on Thursday, the pastor sent me a message and said, can you prepare a message for Sunday and the next Sunday? I said, let me go back and, you know, prepare myself. And in preparing myself, I went through, you know, some of the notes. And I started, really, it started flowing back to me. I said, Inga, I've been blessed. But how many of us really, some of us don't even come with books to take notes. Temuandika. Munajukira mutia. Hey. Ojo kuita wali kumbizi wali wera bide. Kapoko. Anyway, now let us go to the message that the Lord put on my heart. The praise and worship team, the choir, I even wrote on my hand because I didn't have my book. You know that. You made a way when my back was against the wall. You know, with God, it's not over. God is in control. But God is in control only when you acknowledge Him, when you submit to Him. Then He'll make a way. Nemu magezi go with your own mind and the way you want it to be. It will not happen. That song, as we sang it, it encouraged me that the word that I'm going to share was put on to my heart by the Holy Spirit. So I want to thank God for that. But as we go into the word, I also want to thank God for the things that we are seeing in the nation. Last night I had a dream. I had a dream and there was a coup. There was a coup in this country. And we were being pushed. And it was not nice. But when those things come, and we are going through such a time as this, people are angry, people are frustrated, people have bad feelings. To the extent, when this young man who died yesterday, what, Cedric? God bless him. When he died, I saw, when the father put up and said, we want to get this young man a heart, I saw people's comments. And people are, you know, heartless. It doesn't matter who, it's not his fault that his parents are who they are. Or that is connected in that way. But people are saying, hey, your father is so-and-so. Hey, your mother is so-and-so. This is little money. Totubuli levyo. Maybe we shall put little money for you to transport you back after you've got your heart. Heartless. Then Museveni, our president, and his wife, they read a, you know, confession, and they asked for forgiveness. Baba. Then I looked at people. I'm saying, yeah, that's not enough. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, Why can't you take that as a prayer point and say, this man has spoken with his tongue. Let me pick up as a prayer warrior to, you know, because he has spoken with his tongue. At least acknowledge that. But we have too much negativeness in us. We are really, I think we are going into a fallen, you know, we are fallen in spirit, but we are also adding to our fallenness in the way we interpret things. If you haven't yet realized that what they confessed is what you need to pick up and pray for, then you are losing the point. Look for things that you can add value to, not to. Obobaddo otudde wano nawe ng'ogamba nti, "Why, ekisajja kitukalakase. Ekisajja kitukalakase." Say, omusajja has confessed something. Mutusonyiwe. Lwaki tusonyiwa? And the Bible talks about what? Forgiving. Ne n'abalokole nabo bali omwo. Mwe muli, ne mu kanisa muno mwe muli musirise. Nero akuba, "I'm not God, I can't see in your heart." Why can't you pick up the good point and latch on to that one? Huh? That God can help us to change. Anyway, today's topic, what's in you to fight the battle? That's the title. And get freed from the law. What's in you to fight the battle and get freed from the law? As I was preparing this message, I looked in the book of Romans, from chapter 6, 7, 8. But as I was reading, I don't know, the Lord guided me there. I was reading chapters 6, 7, and 8. I looked at chapter 7 and I said, this chapter 7 is a bit of an odd one because it speaks to things which are real, but we shy away from. But at the same time, I think that message is what we need so that 6 and 8 can come alive in our lives. Hallelujah. Chapter 7 of Romans, and the book of Romans was written by who? Paul. He was writing these scriptures or the words that God gave him and he was speaking, and they are profound. But I always find chapter 7 when I read through it, I can actually feel that I'm part of this chapter 7. So Romans 7, we'll read from 14 to 25. I took from the New King James Version. We have a struggle in between us, in our lives. In us, there's a great struggle. We are inconsistent. We change like the weather. If you've been to England or UK, they always talk about the weather because the weather keeps changing. You can be talking, "Oh, sunny day, we're having a nice sunny day," and then, wah, it pours. And say, "Oh, the weather," you know. There's even an English saying about, related to health. They say something like, "I'm under the weather." Yeah? It's linked to the changing of the weather all the time. So when you're under the weather, it means that you're not well. Now, the British weather is not well, I think. But all of us, we struggle. We have a battle of failure to be consistent in the things that we do. In our day-to-day life, you are struggling. Even me, I struggle. But today, I want us to be able, at the end of the day, to find out where and how to deal with these internal struggles. Are you here and you are not struggling? Okay, let us read the Word of God. Sorry, I should have sent this a bit earlier. But you can open your Bibles if you have. I don't know if you have your physical Bible, you have your phone. But I encourage you, please come with a Bible. Move ku simu. One day, when things, Pastor has taught us in those last days, when they switch off the network and you don't have a Bible, what are you going to do? Make sure that you can go local, go analog, have your Bible. Learn how to, you know. I used to feel ashamed for a long time. They would say, "Hosea." Then I'd say, "Ha, where is Hosea?" And then I don't want my neighbor to see that I'm struggling to find where Hosea is. Eh?
Habakkuk. They say, ay, 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 Habakkuk. Eh? Even in the Gospels, you can struggle. But then I decided to say, Lord, you help me. I would always go into the content first. I said, I don't care if you're looking at me. For me, I'm looking in the content. I went to school so that I can identify where. There are people here who still feel ashamed sometimes. So, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. We are carnal, sold under sin. For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But that I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Verse 21. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who would deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now this scripture, even reading it is not easy. I don't know what to do. And I do what I... Even, you know, for me, who is a Muzungu? My name is Balo. I read Luzungu, and there's genes of Muzungu here. So, what is Paul talking about? Paul is talking about the struggles. The thing that you don't want to do is what you do. How many know that there's something you don't want to do, and then you did it? Mugahanyi. Every day, I don't want to do it, and I know that it's wrong, but then you find that you do it. So there's an inner struggle. And we need to acknowledge that inner struggle within us. But that inner struggle is very painful to go through. But it's good to identify it. Okay? It's good. We struggle with consistency. We are not consistent. You love, then you don't love. You speak blessing, then you curse. You don't want to gossip, then you gossip. Anyway, in the Bible, they talk about the child. But child will gossip more than men. But if you find a man who gossips, that one is chitaro. So men, do not gossip. Even women, don't gossip. How many of you made declarations at the new year? I'm going to go to the gym. I am going to change this. I will read my Bible every day. I will go for prayers on Thursday. How many people go for prayers? Who come for the Bible study on Thursday? How many of you have been consistent? Since this year? Tukubeko mungalo for those who have been here. Sebo pastor linabantu basatu abawadde consistent mu Bible study. But those of us, anyway, sometimes we are unable. It could be the season that you are in. It could be other reasons. But we are inconsistent. I remember that this year I said I would start doing exercise. Sumba even bought a second-hand exercise bike. They calibrated it, everything. It is there. It is near me. Even my wife named Paga. Yeah. Nienda kutandika. Nakatula kwa mlundi gumu nekanyige mabega. How do these people write these poor things? The seat is like this. It is sharp. Now every day I look at it. I say, I'm coming. You know that exercise bike, how hard the seat is. Have you sat on it? Now I bought the thing. I look at it every day. I even bothered. Esther is the one who did the deal for me. I said, somebody is selling a second-hand one. Is it good condition? What? Since over February, I look at it. I am inconsistent. But how many of us are inconsistent even with the things of God? Some of you said that you are going to leave. You'll stop eating and you'll go and exercise and do all these things. No, you haven't done those things. You have already given up. Some of you even paid for gym. I don't know if anybody went to the gym. They did it twice and they gave up. We are, all of us here are confessed believers. Yeah, a confessed believer, you put your hand up. Yeah, you have confessed Christ. You have accepted Christ. You want to know him. You want to, be partake of the resurrection with him. You want to be his for his purpose. Hallelujah. There are things which keep haunting us. They haunt me all the time. They make me feel uneasy. And I'm glad that after I read this chapter that I understood why I'm feeling uneasy. The guilt that we walk away with. You have been unkind to somebody whom you should have been kind to. Where you, who is a born-again Christian, you should have spoken life into a situation. You are the one cursing the situation. Even in your office. Even with a boss who you know is not a born-again, but you are the first one who gets in the office and you pray a prayer to bring that person down. Because you want the role, or you'd want him to leave, or you want... Why don't you leave those things to God? Submit the person to God. Thank God for him. Ask God to change him, and let God's will be done. Now you are no different from somebody in a sabo. Mokama, oh yogo about yao, muzijirewo, leka kunkumuke, leka veo mokama, morinyeri ayesu. And even speaking in the name of Jesus. When we take on Jesus, we are supposed to be righteous. But the Bible says how many are righteous? None are righteous. I realized we are struggling. We were singing here about righteousness, and we were happy. But none is what? Always remember that you are not what? Hallelujah. We are in a process. We are in a process and we are imperfect as a fact. And we accept that fact of imperfection. If we accept it, that is, it leads you to freedom. If you understand your imperfection, it will cause you to submit. And when you submit, you remember the song? You make a way. When my back's against the wall. I should join the choir. When you know that you have imperfection, it will lead you to freedom if you actually understand what it means. Do we understand that God gives us power over the penalty of sin? God is the one who has the power over the penalty of sin. But if we know it, why do we act on our own? We act in unrighteousness. We continue to do the things that we don't want to do. Do we understand that God, that we struggle with sin? We desire holiness, but we are unholy. We want the spirit of righteousness, but we have flesh. The sin which is driven through our flesh and being carnal, is that what comes out? The Bible tells us to be quick to listen, slow to speak. But every time, it's the reverse that you do. You don't listen, but you want to speak. Because you are selfish, it's your selfishness that is driving you into that position. And yet, the Bible is telling you to do the different. Listen. Take time to understand. How do you respond? Are you responding carnally, or are you
responding out of the knowledge of the Spirit of God that is in you. So if you understand your carnalness, it will drive you to rethink. And when you rethink and submit, then the Spirit of God will take over. Hallelujah. That is not what is a part of our portion. We are doing everything different. Romans 7 is about living without the power. That is noted in Romans 6 and to an extent in Romans 8. It's about living without the power and acknowledging that you live without that power and what you need to do about dealing with living without that power, which means that that carnalness of yours, dealing with it so that you can get the benefits of Christ-likeness. Hallelujah. Amen. We are sold unto sin, it says in that scripture. It says, we are sold unto sin, and in reality, every one of us here is carnal. We are in a struggle. We don't do what we want to do. We do what is carnal and bad. What is our solution for this carnalness in our lives? If you don't have a solution for this carnalness, then you will miss being a Christian and being Christ-like. Hallelujah. Go to Romans 7:14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. You are sold under sin. That was so profound to me. I said, sold under sin. But we are sold under sin from, we know that when Adam fell, that was already the signature of our what? Of our doom. So you are sold under sin. But the Bible tells us that in Christ you are a new creation. You are rebirthed through Christ. But at the same time, Paul is reminding us that we are still carnal. I remember very well how I behaved the day I accepted Christ. And I'll tell you a bit of a testimony around that. The Greek word, I'm trying to practice what Pastor, I'm also now beginning to check Greek words. The Greek word, sarkinos, it talks about fleshly, consisting of flesh, earthly and perishable. That's the Greek word for living in the flesh. Sarkinos means flesh, consisting of flesh, earthly and perishable, belonging to the world, natural and weak. If you look and reflect into your heart, you are everything sarkinos. You are fleshly. You are consisting of flesh. You are earthly. You are perishable. I think Pastor taught us about being unperishable. Christ is unperishable because he rose. But we are supposed to be with him, so we are supposed to partake of being unperishable. Need to vunda. We are rotting, but we need to learn how we can get out of this state so that we are conjoined to Christ. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 3, 1 to 4. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, you are not carnal and behaving like mere men. For when one says, I am of Paul, another says, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Hallelujah. We're not spiritual. The reality is that we are sold and we were arrested in a state of spiritual development. You are in a state of spiritual development. Because when you read here, it talks about a baby. Anaya, my granddaughter, is there. She is still a child. She's still a toddler. But she's a child.
Hi. She's still a child. But how many of us have remained being a child? You have not grown. You have not developed. You are still a child. You accepted Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, but you have not moved. You are arrested. You are in an arrested state of spiritual development. Wakona. The ladies who cook food, Wakona. You know when ladies are cooking food in the Chiganda way, when they put the food in the ndagala, they wrap it up and put it in the muumbo, they call bakolo muumbo, then they put it nebasanikira with a nebasanika ndagala. Sikusanikira. That tells you that I'm not conversant with these things. You have to be able to know when to put water, what time to kunyiga, what time, what sort of heat the food is going to need. If you want the matoke ukubobera, you know how to put a vu and make sure that heat is. Hakati abafumbira ku gas oba mukola mutya. Wow, kati otokosa butokosa. Do you know how to kusani kemede? Not yet. She's learning. Very good. So we are, when I go back to the unarrested state of spiritual development, you and me are just babes. We are little children. We have got stuck. And the Bible tells us there's a time for everything. There's a time to be a child. There's a time to grow up and become an adult. Nay, most of us have remained in a state of childishness as Christians. And Pastor has talked to us about these things. And we have indications that we see in and around the environment that we live in, the people whom we know, the Christians whom we know. We see it in everything that we do. When I had just got born again in 1993, in the beginning, January 30th, I think. Immediately, I tell you the truth. They preached to me. I felt the Holy Spirit touch me. I felt convicted. I went forward and I accepted Christ. I even shed a tear. I'm telling you, I really knew that Christ loved me. Nay, after you are the one who has accepted Christ, they first give you a little bit of encouragement, what, but already my mind was remembering where members are, where I was going to find my friends. It was a Friday, and I was still a member. So the Holy Spirit convicted me, but as they continued to pray for me and we were about to leave, I was already planning. My friends are there. They are waiting for me. And I can tell you they escorted me. I got a taxi. I went to my friends. And I told them, I said, "You people, Jesus is good. I have accepted Jesus to be Lord and Savior of my life." They laughed at me. Then they said, "Tukuemo." I said, "Ye mumpe." And I'm telling you the truth. Nanywa. Era nenzira yeka, ekisa kitana nekizunga. Nay, I had done what? I had taken the first step. And I'm telling you the truth. I struggled. And these things I tell my children. Because the mistakes I made, I don't want them to make them. I had nobody to mentor me, to talk to me about these things. So I fell in some of these things. And you know what alcohol can do to you. Yeah, it took me a while. On Saturday, I would reduce. Because on Sunday, I have to go to church. You can't go to church when you are, Hey, well, you know, kende zako nakati Saturday nja kukende zamo. Sunday mbele. And that's how it was for a little while. But then the Lord started convicting me. He gave me time. I started realizing, but what I'm doing is not right. As they fed me in the word, I started realizing it's not good. But I was very stubborn. And I told my children I was stubborn. So I cut the spirits, and I said, okay, Nile Special is okay. Then I went from Nile Special, I said, Nile Special is still hard. I went to Bell. I said, Bell is still alcohol. I said, okay, let me put soda. Until one day, I said, enough is what? Enough. Mukama nansasira. And I cut my ties with alcohol. So we are struggling. It might be shameful for me now, I'm an adult man and what. But I talk about these things because I was once there. When you see a guy who is walking and is drunk, musasiri. Hey, we laugh. Hey, lavo ya agenda, agenda, agenda. And when he falls, you say, ah, you even cheer. That person has the Spirit of God in them. He just has not got what you have, God. Musasire. Pray for them, encourage them. That's why we become born again. We are supposed to encourage others to come to Christ. But when we come, then you start laughing at others. And in this day and age, it is even worse. We have people who are on drugs. Our children in school are facing drugs. You people, if you think that alcohol can, you can become an adult, a big adult, addict to alcohol, imagine those who are injecting themselves. It's terrible. Sugar is an addiction. You look at the sugar bar, no gamati. I said, I'm not going to drink any sugar, is bad. Ah, yeah, yeah. As soon as your wife looks the other way, haja. You are struggling with an addiction to just sugar. Kama yeba zibenyo. So, you are babes. I was a toddler in Christ. But I praise the Lord so much that I did not stop following Christ. And as I continued, I realized the truth. And when the truth came to me, it has begun setting me free. It sets me free, but I continue to fight to be totally set free. And the journey in being set free does not stop because these struggles are continuous. Hallelujah. Yeah. Our being carnal is so bad, even in the church, that's why we see Christians who are actually lost. They confess Christ, but they are actually lost. In the church, these Christians, especially who have not realized Christ, are driven by feelings. We have a lot of people who are driven by feelings. I remember when I was still much younger in Christ, the best moments was praise and worship. Twaina band ngabana basabula empale bazisibe no waguru, ne bakube ndongo, and they could sing, and they could sing very well. Some of them became pastors, some have passed away. But I can assure you, that was the most exciting time in the church, praise and worship. I don't know. God saved me from picking up a guitar, but I have a guitar, pastor. And I'm going to play it now for Jesus. Because if I had got it the other time, I would have been in the world. I have it. Hey, and a bike also. I'm going. Ah, pastor, talk about nyo. I have a guitar, so I'm going to learn how to play the guitar. Now, I used to enjoy praise and worship because the beats are modern. They are not like how we are in the Anglican Church or the Catholic Church. Bakubenanga, mochi kumi abiri mosatu. Do 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 do. Never come back. Now I was in a place where a bugumu. I could dance, and I like dancing. When we were in their world, we used to dance a lot. So we have these people who are just like that. They come to church just because maybe it's the choir. When the person who is going to speak the word of God starts, then you see people yawning. They just go to sleep. But that's the devil working. Some of them even leave the church. Who is preaching today? When they say they are going to, they don't want to hear the word of God. Now, those are people who get bored. They don't want to hear the word of God. The Bible, when you open the Bible, people yawn, people get tired. I don't know. The devil has a way of working. Even when we're in fellowship at home, I look at my children. Every day we have a fellowship in the evening. When I say, open the Bible, then you see people. Open. It's like we are giving PPF or bad doses of Kamula Lee. I don't know. The devil is the one who tries to make you think that the most important thing, the word of God, is so difficult. You have to be committed to be able to learn the word of God. And even to learn, actually, to be able to read the word of God alone. You know how many distractions happen when you determine to read the Bible? When you get home and say, I'm going to read my Bible, the phone calls. You get a phone call. And it's an important one. You have a cousin or a sister. The other sister of mine, by the way, the husband passed away. And she talks for 2 hours on the phone. Now, your 15 minutes, which you had said, I'm going to read the Bible, is taken up by the what? The 2 hours. That is when somebody comes to visit you, when you want to read your Bible. That is when you really feel that you are sleepy. I remember a time where I would say, let me try and read my Bible. Then I would lie down on the bed. Good. So, you know, when you try to read the Bible, you feel bored. You feel disconnected. You feel that you can't understand what you're reading. Now, we have very many people who are like that, and we have churches actually right now that are aligned to things which are deceptive. They'll have only music, and some of the music is becoming almost, secular in the way it is performed. And people like such churches, and they don't teach you the word of God. They don't teach you how to interpret. They don't introduce you to actually loving the word of God. So you are part of that kukona. You don't grow spiritually. They are not satisfied. That's why when they go to a church and they teach them the word and they point out something, there's something in you that, you know, that touches them, and they might not even point you out and say physically that so and so, but they speak something that touches their hearts in the wrong way. They just start hopping the church and say, hey, your church and them here. Because the church is speaking what? The truth. They don't want to hear the truth. That's why they hope. Chinyumirawa. Oh, echabadewa pastor gundi. Mama. That's all there. It's about feelings. Your journey with Christ is not about feelings. Just feelings. If you are here in this place because pastor looks nice with his wife, and you have a nice equipment, you are in a nice place, then you are just attached to feelings. You are not attached to Christ. If you are here because you see so-and-so is in the church, Auntie Bruce Mwali, Simanyi Gundi Ye Mwali, Bruce Jali, Angenda Kurwa Bruce, you are in the wrong place. You haven't been touched by Christ, and you haven't grown. If you are chasing experience, you will never get enough of experience. If you're trying to use worldliness to fill the gaps in your life, and many of us still do that worldliness, we are still attached to worldly things in your walk with Christ, then you need to understand that there's a battle within you. This very battle that I'm talking about. We become carnal believers. We are just glossing over things. We are looking for worldly answers. The only answer you want in your life is when pastor says, I see in the church, I see somebody who is going to get a VX Land Cruiser. You are going, hey, Ojakuba Burunji, you have a car coming to you. Kwata Tola, that ministry of Kwata Tola. It is worldly. You have to be very careful. The carnal state that we are in is an arrested state. You are under arrest. Has anybody here been arrested by the police? Be honest. Hey, Musumba, what did you do? Huh? You who even before they put speed limits, you're already on the speed limit. The only person who I heard who drives according to the speed limit is a pastor. Me also, I was arrested by the police. But I was arrested, moreover, 1 week after getting married. She was still Mugole. I was arrested. I slept in the cells of hey, Nasulayo. Nasulayo on CPS. But it was for a traffic offense. Can you imagine, at night? And in trying to get set free, I had to make sure that my newlywed wife was protected. And then I went, Tohanga, Tohavieto, Tohavieto. Hey! I went into the cells. But I'll tell you that story another day. So, a carnal state means that you are in a state of arrest. You are easily deceived. You have no backbone. We lean on extremes. We've seen churches that lean on extremes. The way they do things, the way they change the word of God. For example, Bujingo, he decided to hit marriage. He decided to hit marriage. And he decided to split away from his wife, and we know that that's not what the word of God says. And he still has a congregation that is cheering him, amen. And he speaks into married people, and he speaks into them that you can make a choice. The Bible said that you should not have one wife, and that you can change. These are the people who say that Solomon had what? How many? He had 700 and 300 concubines. Eh? So why don't you have a charo chiramba of wives? But they do not see the scriptures that follow, in the books that follow, that actually Solomon said, all those things I did were vanity. They do not read. They read the Bible just like reading a novel. I did these things. I didn't know. I should have known better. Now, if Solomon, these are people who are anointed by God and they became who they became, were anointed and they fell. You look at us all. You need to really acknowledge that you are fallen. But it's not wrong. You are in a state, a fallen state, and you need to know how to be led out of that fallen state. Amina. Amen. So, you have pastors who will tell you that I cannot move in a taxi because there are people who have demons. Therefore, you buy for me a VX so that I can travel okay. And then he buys the vehicle, and what number plate do they usually put? Psalms 23. Ah, number plate. It is godly. This vehicle is godly. And it is covered by the blood because when I travel, if I travel in a taxi, I can be contaminated by demonic people. Now, you can imagine what people are doing. And we've had teachers of the word in America who have, you know, they've put congregations on the spot and asked them to buy aircrafts. Vokubano abavuga bugundi bu VX obabuchi. An aircraft, millions and millions of dollars because they want to be different. They are not actually going after God. Now they've gone into the prosperity. And Pastor preached to us about prosperity. It's not supposed to be that sort of prosperity. God loves prosperity. He can make you prosper. But that's not. Everything that God does is for his glory. It's not for your self-gratification, not self-glory. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. We have so many people in the church who are fault finders. They are blaming others. They manipulate the scriptures. They have self-interests which they are driving. I mean, the man of God is going, is going. No, I mean, really, and people are deceived. People continue to be deceived every single day. They are using the scriptures of God for self-interest. And we are frustrated if you actually know the truth. But there are those who are not frustrated because they have got the wrong gospel. We have the bare minimum Christians. And I remember the Lord has judged me and continued to gauge me, and I'm becoming better. We were bare minimum Christians. We were addicted to the highs of sin. And it was killing us. I talked about the alcohol, but there are things which are worse than alcohol. Mine was plain. It was because of friends and the bottle. But when I got the bottle, I would go to sleep. But is it worse? Well, the sin is sin, but there are those now who, you may not be drinking alcohol, but you gossip. The minute you hear, Mchala Namanya has this, aha, wana Mchala Msumba wate gede, yama Mchala Namanya, ne Mchala Msumba na ina yeongira yo, na agende umlala. By the time the message goes around, you are killing somebody spiritually, and you are also dead in the spirit. And you don't want to do it, but you do it. You even call somebody with your airtime, Mkubira. You beep, Mkubira, nino uruocha. And the other one also, the Mulokole, also receives it and also calls back. You don't want to do it, but you are continuing to do these things. So we are addicted to this sin, these things like sin, and it's killing us. We are like a dog that goes to eat its vomit. We do these things again and again. When a dog vomits, you go, what has happened? After a few minutes, what do you see? It goes. Now you see the bazungu is kissing the dog, and you wonder. Yeah? But we, as Christians, some of us are behaving in the same way. We are addicted to this sin, so we must step up to conquer it. How do we step up to conquer this sin? This thing is causing us so much pain. But the fact that you understand it's painful, I think you are on the mend. And I think chapter 7 of Romans, actually, it helps us to understand that we are in trouble if we don't understand how we can get freedom out of this situation. So as we desire to get out of this situation, it's part of the development. Especially if you are committed, it's part of development that you may understand where you are. So to defeat sin controlling us, we need to move up from carnal self-indulgent living to spirit-empowered living. We need to have a spirit-empowered life. And where these sins in our lives cannot survive, that is where we need to go. That is to be empowered by the Spirit of God. If we use sheer willpower to fight sin, you will lose. That's why I think earlier on, I remember there are people who are charged. For me, as a born-again Christian, I used to wonder how people pray. There were prayers which I thought, and sometimes I do see people praying, and I realize that they are just words. Somebody's just using words because they have practiced well. And they know what to say. In the church where I was, it was the first church we went to, it was still a Chiwempe church. We had a young man. And they say, Muyimuke, tugende tusabe, tutandiko kusaba. The guy would first pick a chair and put it up and show that awaga. Then he would go and slap the side of the church. Pia! For me now, who didn't know how to pray very well? This one, nga asimbula mugia nene. Nenga, the things he used to pray, I sometimes listen to them and say, are these things really? So he was just putting on a show. He wasn't committed to praying. It wasn't until I identified a very senior pastor. Maybe he has even gone blind now. He's Pastor Kingsley Mark Juko. I don't know if you know him. Not very many people know him. So what I would do, I would anchor onto his prayer. So he says, whatever he says, I start repeating it in my heart. I block out these other people. abakuba embaawo abakola ki abasitudde obutebe kusasamaza. It is just creating a scenario where to show that for them they are very, very powerful prayer warriors. So I learned to pray by thinking through and listening to my mentor, a pastor who I know was grounded and who loved me and who spoke words of encouragement, lifted me up. He never put me down. I listened to the way he started praying, and I started through that to learn how to pray. So you need to learn some of those things. Not everybody who is goni amanyo kusaba. Hey, my friend, sometimes it's just it does not have the depth that it's supposed to have. If we use sheer willpower, and some of us even in church, we want to willpower the prayer, you are forcing it. It will go through. It's not a submissive prayer. It is not broken. You don't have a broken and contrite spirit. You cannot connect to God unless you have a broken and contrite spirit. It's no longer God's power, but your power. You are in your own little world, believing that what you are doing is right. And yet God is looking for what? A broken and contrite spirit. Praise the Lord. So those who say that they promise to do things and they don't do them, you can't stop sinning like me. You can't stop unless you know how to go to God. And through God or Jesus Christ, the sin will fall, not through your own understanding. This struggle that we have to know that it's real, if you go to still the same scriptures, Romans 7, 15, 16, it says, "For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good." We struggle with all the things that I talked about. We have tempers, we have gossip, we have pride, we have cheating. There are people here who have refused to pay other people. Waliye banja lya munno, lend me a 50k. And you knew you are not going to pay. Now that person is no longer your friend. Omuyita nabali, musumbaze kangende. You are a cheat. Hey, you've refused. At least if you don't have the money, go to him and say, so and so, I'm not yet able to pay the money. But you know it and you do it from one person to the other. You say, the last time I was with Bruce Cutty, let me see, who haven't I been to see? George has been away. Let me go to George. He even has dollars. George, I need like 100K. I have a small problem. Because you know George is going to be away. Oli muliaza amanya. Ogwo muze gukusigadde mu kulemedde mu. You do it all the time. It's the point of contact that the devil has picked up to continue to destroy you. You need to act and be able to manage that problem. We want to do good, but we don't do good. In reality, as a Christian, we struggle, and the struggle continues. In Romans 7:17, it says, "But now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." This is acknowledging. Sin dwells in you. How do you deal with sin when it dwells in you? And we all have fallen in many different ways. If you are not the one cheating with money, you are the one gossiping. If you are not the one gossiping, then you are the one doing something else. If you are the one who is saying that you are kind and then you are not doing things that show kindness, you know, we all have some sort of fallen spirit in us which keeps us in this carnal, you know, way that we do things. Now, you cannot battle with your opponent unless you know him. If you know your opponent, if you're going to war, you know that you need to understand, what does my opponent have? Does he have bows and arrows? Does he have spears? Does he have guns? Does he have tanks? Does he have aircraft? Does he have what? How can I fight them? You have to be able to understand what you need to fight. Galatians 5:17 says, we need the Lord to deliver us from ourselves. Deliver from who? He doesn't say to deliver you from yourself, not from Satan. Deliver from yourself, so you are self-destructing. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. So you are self-destructing. I think, Pastor, and from the doctor's world, what is that disease which self-destructs? No, it's your cells and whatnot. What sort of condition is that? Yeah, an autoimmune system. It's your body fighting against your body. We are like that also spiritually. We need the Lord to deliver us from ourselves. Hallelujah. To get out of sin, we need to look critically at ourselves. This applies to even the most dedicated believers. So don't be deceived. Otambulango gamande ndi pastor, ndi evangelist, ndi chi, ndi prophet, bichi. You need to be delivered. Hallelujah. And you will not know that you need to be delivered until you know the depth of your problem. Men of God in the Bible were delivered because they knew the depth that they had fallen. Their carnal actions. They actually understood the depth of their carnal actions. That is the point when they understood that they needed the Lord to pick them out of that situation. Hallelujah. The more you grow spiritually, the more you see your own sinfulness. When your spiritual nature is alive, then you will see your sinful nature. So when you are a baby, you'll be running around, not doing, and if you are still a baby Christian and you have been here for a while in NIT, you need to start eating some food and getting off milk and learning that you need to understand the sin in your life. Isaiah in Isaiah 6:5, he says he's a man of unclean lips. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of all people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Unclean lips. And you know, from the lips, when we open and we speak, it's the tongue. And we know that the tongue, it creates, and the tongue destroys. Isaiah says he's a man of unclean lips. David, in the book of Psalms, he says, my sin is always before me. David, the beloved of God. My sin is always before me. And we actually, when we read about David, we see all the times he fell. The things he did would have put him in red paper consistently. He would be a candidate for red paper and all the things, the kavuya. In fact, these days we don't forgive. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mama. Oh, baba, leka mokonyi. Oh, yo, liba mtuala. He says in Psalms 53, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. People of God who are here, your sin or our sin is always before you. It is always there. John says in 1 John 1:8, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You have no truth in you if you say you are sinless. We only know that there's one person who walked this earth, and he was Christ. He's the only one who was sinless. John said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So, Sumba, I'm very bad on time. I'll give it another 10 minutes or 5. In Romans, Paul reflects on himself. In me, nothing good dwells. He said, Paul says, in him. In me, nothing good dwells. Apart from God, we can do nothing. Your own willpower cannot get rid of sin. And yet we try to fight using our own willpower. So, are you just a good sinner? When you go before the Lord, will you be able to say, God, at least for me, I didn't do this. I was a good sinner. I used to do this. I used to preach. Sin is sin. I used to preach the word of God. I spoke into people's life. I called upon your name and people were healed. But we know what Jesus will say if we do not deal with this issue of sin in our lives. He will reject us. In me, nothing good dwells. If you want to be delivered from the clutches of carnality, we must accept, in me, nothing good dwells. Sometimes we think, in fact, locally, some people will look down upon others because we think for us we are in a different class. All you do is say, praise the Lord, but actually, even to be called a tebidiyo. In fact, now the church has been, it's now a fad. Which church do you go to? Yeah, Pastor Musingus Moses. You're in the Kanisa Nunji. You are in it for a fad. Just like you see people dressing up and saying, we want this. My sons, by the time for us who are their age, for us who are cutting the French cuts, do you notice that the young people don't want to cut their hair anymore? Now they want afros. I said, what are you doing with all this hair? They said, Daddy. When I take them to the barber, they said, Daddy, you leave my hair. In fact, Philip is there cursing me because they reduced his hair a little bit more than normal. As for the other two, I just struggle with them. Now the combs, they keep telling me, Daddy, my comb is broken. Quack, quack, quack. I say, why are you suffering with hair? Just cut it. Be like Uncle Isoki. Because he's even self-cuts. Yeah? So, Romans 22 in that same chapter says, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. We can't fight a battle with kids' gloves. If you're going to fight a battle, you need to know what you need to use. To fight these battles, one needs greater or a higher power than yourself. If you don't acknowledge that in God there is a higher power, then you haven't yet understood God. You need to acknowledge that you need him. Yeah? The law reminds us of our shameful situation, and we really sometimes believe it's impossible, even unto leaving the faith. When we feel that it is too much. Actually, people backslide and they leave. They say, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Let me go back into the world where I will be hot and cold and it's acceptable in the world standard because they feel that this standard is too much. So, you have to understand your situation very well, that you are in a process. When you're in that process, it's Jesus who will help you to overcome hypocrisy. We must stop fighting these struggles in our own way and find a way of submitting ourselves to God. We must not allow the struggle we fight with sin to disqualify us. That struggle you fight on sin should not disqualify you, but rather it should sharpen you to acknowledge that you are weak and allow the higher power to take control. Disqualifying us from the solution of the victorious life in Christ. Don't allow the situation you're going through to disqualify you because you have access to a higher power. Jesus died for you and he can rid you from the exposure to sin. You cannot fight this sin alone, but allow Jesus to take that sin away from you. The solution is in verse 24. It says, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? It's a question. But the only person who can deliver you from the body, this body of death, is Jesus Christ. Now, as I wrap up, I am a very good swimmer. I used to swim, actually, competitively. And I won many medals, short of going to the Olympics, which couldn't be funded. But I was a very good swimmer. And in being a swimmer, I was also a lifeguard. At school, I was one of the only students who was allowed to swim without a teacher or the headmaster because I was a lifeguard. In fact, the pool could be opened because of my presence. If I said, guys, I'm going to the pool, then everybody was allowed to go to the swimming pool. We had a swimming pool in our school. But I learned in being a lifeguard. Have you ever seen somebody who is going to drown? Ouga, pastor. Your relationship is only in the shower. I need to take you for swimming lessons. Have you seen anybody drowning? Who has seen somebody drowning? Or you've seen on in the movies? Yeah? What happens? Usually what happens is when you fall in water, you don't know how to swim, you start between sinking and there's a big struggle because you are panicking and you are trying to stay above water so that you don't drown. But as a lifeguard, when somebody falls into the pool, that one we watch. I had a guy, he was a Muchiga guy, he came, he was very tall, and he said, how deep is here? I told him it is deep. Then he went, he could see short people in the short end. He said, he came in S5, he felt that his Muchiga, he was very, very okay. He jumped in the pool. I told him, that is the deep end, don't go that side. He said, I'm tall, I'll be able. He jumped in. He started swallowing water. Now, he was quite strong. He was bigger than me. And people started shouting, hey, somebody's drowning, somebody's drowning. I waited. Because if you go in the water, when they are fighting, you will drown together. So I had to wait for him for a few seconds to swallow enough water. He swallowed, now go on down. Then I dived into the wound. Did some resuscitation. He wasn't really out cold, but he was spluttering and whatnot. He never swam again the rest of his duration in school. He just got his catawl back to the dormitory. So, now, you cannot save a drowning man, like I said, otherwise he may drag you down. Now, when you put your trust in Jesus, He will help you. Your mere determination, like this guy who was fighting. Now, that is a determination even in panic. He was trying to take control of the surroundings for him to stay afloat. He was fighting and it was futile. So he was drowning. Now, that is how we are. You and me. Unless you realize that you are, when your back's against the wall, that is when, and you know who to call on, when Jesus comes, he will take control of that situation. When he takes control of that situation, then he will take the responsibility and accountability for all that situation that you have been in, which has been causing your drowning. You cannot finish them unless you allow Christ to come in and rescue you. And usually it takes time. That's why I said you're in the process, development process. The only problem is if you do not understand that these things are a problem. If you look at what David said, Isaiah and John, they realized that they were what? Unable. They were carnal. They were drowning. Whatever they tried to do, they were drowning. Now, you and me, if you measure yourself against John, David, and where are you? But I don't want you to measure yourself against that. Measure yourself according to your relationship that you want with God and what he desires to give you back. Come on, Ebazibwenyo. So in verse 25, it says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's only Jesus. Only Jesus who can stop you from drowning. Who can prevent you from this carnal situation that is in our lives. He will give a way for you where you thought there was no way. He will make alive the scriptures that help you to practice and get out of the situation you are in. He will give you the tools. And if you go finally to Galatians 5, 20-23, the fruit of the Spirit. Once Jesus has taken you taken control, you will begin to practice this fruit. Joy. There are people who do things because they're always grumpy. Even being grumpy before God is a sin. He will give you joy. So when you are in a grumpy mood, you are grumpy because until you know you didn't provide at home, so you come home grumpy. You are grumpy because you have not provided. Let God give you joy. Practice joy. I'm alive. God is good. God has given me life. I have a wonderful family. Hey, my son, come here. Daddy, we don't have this. Don't worry, we shall get it tomorrow. Jesus will provide. Don't come home with a grumpy mood. Is this? Have peace. Peace that God gives. The situations, you are always creating situations which are, negative. Have peace. Encourage peace. In a situation that you know you are struggling with, encourage peace because it's godly. Say, okay, I've got peace. Let's pray. Encourage somebody to pray. No, let's pray. Why? Because God wants to give us the fruit of the Spirit. Peace. Long-suffering. Long-suffering means that be patient. It's not kawed demo. We say kawed demo. You want to get things so fast. Long-suffering is a fruit from God. It gives you patience. And in that long suffering, God opens your eyes into greater things. It is not like it sounds, long suffering. It means you are going to suffer for a long time. Long suffering means enduring, looking to God in every situation. You will be able to practice these things. And when you practice these things, sin will not come. Sin will, it will look for another path, but sin cannot survive in such a situation. Gentleness, faithfulness, kindness, goodness. What does it cost you to be kind? Really? And by the way, the funny thing is that when we are unkind, we remain grumpy and you may feel victory, but you feel sad. But when you are kind, you know that something lifts you. The Spirit of God lifts you. When you are... There's a lady who gave me 10K when you preached the other day. Mr. Balogendo Ogure airtime. When you preached, you should preach more often like that. I felt nice. That was kindness. She did it out of her heart. And every time I remember her, I pray for her. I say, Mchalo, she blessed me. Now why can't you bless somebody else? Why can't you be kind to somebody? When you are kind to somebody, all these things, all these things which cause your carnal being surrounding you and walking in it and you are drowning, you need to allow God to take control. So every day that you get up and you remember and you know that you are being carnal or the things that you have done, you evaluate yourself. Romans 7 actually helps us to evaluate ourselves. Because the more you evaluate yourself, the more you understand how weak you are. The more you understand that you really need Christ in yourself. The more you understand that you need to submit. Stop drowning. Allow Christ to save you. He's done it. You have confessed him to save you, but you are not allowing him to save you. And when I speak these words, I also speak to myself as well, because I am an imperfect person. Hallelujah. So let the drowning stop, and let the Spirit of God take control. And when the Spirit of God takes control, then we shall have victory. May God bless you.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.